All right, Rabosai, good evening. Good evening. Let's begin. So we are picking up tonight on Chof Hem Beis 25b, and I believe we left off. So Bashoshes, take all right. Akum Arum, we did good. Lo Yiskasu Lo B'Mayim Haroyim Lo B'Mei Mishra. Right? It's like smack in the middle of the page. I don't know, too many lines to count. So right, literally right in the middle of the page. So. So remember again, the topic of the Mishnah was a person saying Shema, or they need to say Shema, and they're unclothed, but there's a body of water. So there's the ability to go ahead and literally cover oneself in the water, and the water kind of obscures the erva. So now the Mishnah was talking about a situation where what happens if it's flax water, right, or it's other kinds of dirty water. So the halacha is you have to pour clean water into it in order to be able to use it to cover your body for Kriyat Shema purposes. V'kama maya rami ba'azil. So the Gemara says, V'kama maya rami ba'azil. So I was like, how much clean water do you have to pour in there in order to make it usable? Halacha, this is what it means to say, lo yiskas lo maya maram v'lo maya mishra klal. Really, a person should not cover their body with putrid water or with flax water. I will say flax water is, right, in order to make flax usable, you have to take the flax plant and you have to soak it. So that's what we call flax water. So you really shouldn't go ahead and use mayim rum or flax water at all. So that's first statement. So statement number one is these items should not be used to cover the body because they're simply putrid. What about urine? So the Gemara says, "Umeiraglaim achito l'sochan mayim v'yikra." If there's urine, you could go ahead and, technically speaking, right, cover your body in the urine as long as you pour water into it. So the Gemara says, "Tarabanan kama yati l'sochan mayim kol shehu." How much water do you have to pour into it in order, for almost to like negate the urine identity? Any amount of water. Rabzakam Revius. Rabzakai says Revius. Aram Machlokes Lebasof. This is interesting. The Machlokes is only about the amount of water you have to pour if you already have the urine there. However, again, about Betrila Koshein. But I will say, if you, let's say, put regular water inside first and then the urine comes in afterwards, the pre-existing presence of the urine ultimately, again, allows for that body of liquid to be used. Interesting. Rav Yosef on Rav Yosef says, Machlokes lechatchila, aval basof divrei hakol revius. Rav Yosef says the machlokes is only lechatchila. In other words, how much water do you have to put in on the front end before the urine comes? But if you're introducing water after the urine is already there, everyone agrees that it's a revius. Amar Rav Yosef l'shamei. So Rav Yosef said to his attendant, I see li Rav Yosef demaya k'Rav Zakai. So apparently when Rav Yosef encountered this particular situation, he would say, bring me a revius of water like Rav Zakai. Okay. Tan Rabbanon, Graf Shal Reva Avishal Mei Raglayim, Asur Likros Kriya Shema Kenegdas. We'll say, so now we're switching gears a little bit. So Graf Shal Reva, we'll say, Graf Shal Reva is like a bedpan with excrement inside of it. So right, so you have a Graf Shal Reva or a Avishal Mei Raglayim. Avishal Mei Raglayim is a bedpan with urine inside of it. So what's that halacha? Asur Likros Kriya Shema Kenegdan. You cannot recite Shema opposite these items. Here's what's interesting. You can't recite Shema opposite the bedpan itself, even if there's no waste inside of the bedpan. Now, a piece of important historical information about Talmudic bedpans. They were made from earthenware. So Rabbi say, it's not metallic. It's made from earthenware. What's the chop with earthenware? Earthenware absorbs, right? It absorbs odor and it absorbs coloration. So the idea is, if you had a bedpan, it was fashmutz. So therefore, even if there's no waste in there, lemaisa, again, you still can say kriya shema opposite. It's incredible. Omei raglayim atzman. What about urine itself? Does the presence of urine prevent you from going ahead and saying shema? So achiyati l'sochan mayim. You have to mix water. And if you mix water into the urine, dilute the urine, that kind of takes away the urine identity, makes it into water. I guess it's also, remember, Chazal Abraham, what's the percentage of water in urine? 90%? A lot.
It's all water.
It's all water? Okay, so... Right, but water. So let's say, so it is interesting. In other words, Chazal clearly understood this concept also. So that's why interesting, because like you look at this, why does the introduction of a little bit of water, of a little, I know who I'm asking. I didn't turn to Chaim for this. And I'm saying like, you know. Way too much information, by the way. You need to save that kind of stuff when you give shiur. You know, and by the way, you probably should see Dr. Fine then, if that's the case, all right? So what's interesting is Chazal understood this, and that's why, again, simply introducing a little bit of water negates the urine identity, which is really very interesting. Okay, see, I only have to introduce a little bit of water. The kama yitel solchan, how much water do you have to put in? Kol shu, any amount essentially obviates the identity of urine and makes it into water. Abzakam, revius. Rabbi Zakkai says, revius. Bein lefnei hamita, bein le'achar hamita. Now, boss, and here's what's interesting. Remember, so the way they're setting up this case is, remember, we're talking about a bedpan and presence of urine in a room. So, Bipashas, we'll say again, in the days before indoor plumbing, so it made sense that a person had a bedpan in the bedroom, right? So, in the middle of night, you have to take care of your physical needs. The person's not going to go out to the outhouse, at least for urination purposes, right? So, it's interesting over here. Rabbi Zakkai says, you need a revius of water to negate the urine identity. And this is true whether the urine is in front of the bed or behind the bed. In other words, whether or not the urine is in direct, you know, ocular range right in front of you or behind the bed, out of sight. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, La'acha hamita kore, lefne hamita eina kore. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if the urine is behind the bed, then you're allowed to say Shema. If it's in front of the bed means that it's visible. If it's in front of the bed, so you can't say Shema. Ava marche ku arba amos v'kore. What you can do is distance yourself, Dalet Amos. We'll say Dalet Amos is approximately 6 feet. Distance yourself 6 feet, and then you could recite Shema. Shema Elazar Omer, Afilu Beis Mea Amo. I'm sorry, Afilu Bais Mea Amo. Lo Yikra, Achiotseim, O Achianichin Takasamita. So this is interesting. Shema Elazar is the most machmer. Shema Elazar says, the truth is, you just shouldn't daven, you shouldn't say Shema, and of course, daven in the same house with waste. That's the idea. So even if the home is, right, the home, it's a large home, still it should be removed from the house before you daven. Which I will say now, we don't paskin this way, but it is interesting just to see the entire spectrum of opinions. All right, Ibayluhu, Hechi Kamar, so Hechi Kamar, Achar Amita Kori Miyad, Lefne Amita Marchik Arba Amos, did he mean to say that if the urine is behind the bed, you could reach Shema immediately, but in front of the bed, you have to distance yourself 4 amos for kore, and then you could reach Shema Odilma Hachi Kamar, La'achar Amita Marchik Dalet Amos for kore. If the urine is behind the bed, you have to distance yourself Dalet Amos, then you can say Shema, right? Lefne Amita in a kore klal, but if it's in front of the bed, i.e., you know, in direct proximity, you can't say Shema at all. Which one is it? So Tashma, the same Shimon Elazar Omer, Achar Hamita Kore Miyad, Lefne Amita Marchik Arba Amos. If it's behind the bed, right? If it's behind the bed, you could say Shema. In other words, because we'll say if it's behind the bed, pretty much it's obscured. So because it's obscured, you can go ahead and say Shema. So right, I'm sorry. Right, Achar Amita Kore Miyad, Lefne Amita, if it's in front of the bed, i.e. in direct vision, right, direct ocular range. So Marchik Arba Amos. You distance yourself, Dalet Amos from it, and then you can say Shema. Shimon Gamliel says, Afilu Bayis Mea Amo Lo Yikra Achi Yotzieim O Achi Anichin Tacha Samita. Shimon Gamliel has the most machmir position. His position is, you cannot say Shema in the same house where there is active present waste. I don't know if active is the right word. You know, present waste. You can't do that. It has to be removed from the home in order to be able to say Shema. So the Gemara says, Bayon is, the Gemara says, Bayon Afshitalon Masnisin Kashna Adadi. So in your effort to answer the question, now we have contradictory Mishnayos, to which the Gemara says, Eifuch Bas Raisa. So switch the opinions in the second one to align them with the first. My chaz is to Afchis Bas Raisa, Eifuch Kamaisa. Why are you changing these opinions in the second Raisa? Change them in the first one. Man Shamas Le Da'amar Kule Bayis Ka'arba Amos Dami. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because Rabbi Shimon, again, interestingly enough, now this happens, it's fascinating. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, why does Rabbi Shimon Elazar hold that if there is waste in a home, you can't say Shema? Rabbi Shimon, just understand what that means, right? A Bach person lives in a large house, so there's waste on the upper story, and I'm davening Shema on the main floor. Rabbi Shimon says he can't do it. So we'll say, interestingly enough, that is a derivative of another position. Shimon Elazar holds that halacha lamaisa, the entire home is considered to be like Dalet Amos. In other words, your entire home is considered, we'll say Dalet Amos represents what? What does Dalet Amos represent? Your personal space. Right? That's your personal space. Right? You know, people say, like, you're invading my personal space. Dalet Amos is my personal space. That's why, interestingly enough, your Dalet Amos actually have the ability to acquire something. For example, if we're going ahead, let's say we're talking, and I want to give you $100. I'll give you $100. So what do? But I don't want to hand it to you. Germs, COVID, whatever. So instead, what I want to do, I throw it to you, and it lands like a foot away from you. Reuven standing on the side, he sees $100, right? So again, he jumps in and he grabs it. He's like, I found it, right? You didn't acquire it. It didn't come to your hand. The halacha is, Reuven has to give it to you. Why? Because once that money fell within your Dalet Amos, right? Your 6 feet radius, then that is considered to be like your domain. For acquisition purposes. So the concept of Dalet Amos means that your domain. So Shimon Elazar says, it's actually really interesting that the entire home is like Dalet Amos. That's why he holds that if there's waste in the home, you can't say Shema there. Because waste in the home is effectively like what? Waste in your Dalet Amos. What's halacha if there's waste in your Dalet Amos? You can't say Shema. And so what I will tell you just very quickly, we actually rely on this halacha. We actually rely on this position in a very different kind of way. I will say the halacha really Shulchan Aruch brings down that when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to wash your hands, nagel basar. And the idea really is that you're not supposed to really go more than Dalet Amos without washing your hands, which is why many keep a bowl with water by their bed, underneath their bed, so that when you wake up in the morning, first thing, you could wash. But a lot of people don't do that. But I understand, but that's the halacha. You're not supposed to walk more than Dalet Amos. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we rely on the fact that what? Your home is like Dalet Amos. It's just pointing out. So many of us rely on this every single day without even realizing.
Let's go for LA. Anything? I mean, let's see, you walk with that. Are you under a roof?
No, because the din of Dalet Amos, the din of Dalet Amos is not a din. In other words, walking without a yarmulke is even less than Dalet Amos. I'm supposed to be without a yarmulke. Not a din of Dalet Amos. I don't know. You'd have to find other Dalet Amos halachas that you could apply it to.
Is this the diyanim?
So the Mishnah Berurah seems to... It's a machlokes. There are definitely poskim that hold that the lechatchila is keep the water by your bed. I would say definitely the Mishnah Berurah is relied on as a lechatchila. You know, if the person wants to be machmir, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, just pointing out, that has nothing to do with our Gemara, but it's an interesting application of this halachic process. Okay, or halachic concept. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, boy, my name is Rav Huna. Mita pachos mishlosha pshitale de kalava dummy. So Rabbi says, this is an interesting case over here. So let's analyze this a bit. So Rabbi says, let's say a person has waste and they want to put the waste under the bed. So the shaila is putting it under the bed, consider that now it's covered. So the Gemara says, what does it depend on? It's actually really interesting. It depends on how much space there is under the bed. So Rabbi says, there is a concept called lavud. What does lavud say? Lavud says that any space that is less than 3 tefachim. So we'll say, so a tefach, right? The tefach is what? About 3 inches. 3 inches. So let's just call it any space that's less than 9 inches, or we'll call it a foot even, right? Any space that's less than a foot is considered to be as if it's closed. We use this all the time, right? You're putting up your sukkah, and your walls don't extend all the way down to the ground. There's a lot of things you can rely on for that. But on a most basic level, love it. Right, as long as it's within a foot of the ground, you're good to go. So watch this. If the area underneath the bed is less than 3 tefachim, then it's considered to be closed. If it's considered to be closed, then what's the status of the waste underneath it? What's the status of the waste?
Covered.
Then it's covered. So the Gemara says, right? So kalava dami. So the Gemara says, pshitali de kalava dami. Shlosha arba chamisha shisha shiva shmona teisha ma'u. So we'll say, so what happens if the space underneath the bed is more than 3 tefachim, right? So what do you do then? Now, I can't rely on lavud. So now, the waste is underneath the bed. So what is the halacha? What is the halacha? So we'll say, if you take a look, by the way, fine. What's the halacha? Amrali, lo yedana. So he's, I don't know. The truth is, what he was saying is, between 3 and 9, I don't know. Asara vade lo mibayli. Now, if the bed is 10 tfachim off the ground, so the space underneath the bed is more than 10 tfachim, then that's an easy one. I don't even have a question about that. Why? We'll say because, remember, 10 tfachim of height is automatically another rishus. Right? Once something is 10 tfachim high, that becomes a separate domain. So because it becomes a separate domain, therefore the space underneath the bed can't be considered to be like a covering. So we'll say, here's what we know. If the area underneath the bed is less than 3 tfachim, then the waist is considered covered. If it's above 10 tfachim, it's considered uncovered. What happens if it's between 3 and 10? What's the halacha there? So Amalei Abaye, Shapir Avarata Deloi Bayi Lecha, Kol Asar Rishus Achrisahi. Right, because 10 is a separate Rishus. Amar Rava. So Rava's like this. Hilchasa, what's the halacha? Pachus Mishlosha Kilavu Dami. So we'll say, if the space underneath the bed is less than 3 tfachim, then Rava say, that's the concept, that's called lavud. Lavud means attached. That is a halacha l'moshem yisina sene'idik law, given by Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Right? So less than 3 tefachim, it's considered closed, the waist is covered. Asara Rishus Achrisei. If it's above 10 tefachim, right, to say something that is above 10 tefachim, then it's not considered covered. Mishlosha Ad Asara, what about the space between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim? Hainu Deboim Mine Rav Yosef Mei Rahuna V'lo Pashivle. So we'll say, that's the unresolved issue. That's the unresolved issue. So if you have waist, in other words, essentially, if you have the bedpan underneath the bed, and the area underneath the bed is between 3 and 10 tfachim, that's going to be a shaila as to what that status is. Amar Rav, halacha Reb Shimon Elazar. Rav said that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Elazar. V'chin Amar Be'eli Amar Reb Yaakov Bera D'Bashmua halacha Reb Shimon Elazar. So we'll say, remember again, what did Reb Shimon Elazar say? Reb Shimon Elazar was the one who wanted to say that you can't daven with waist in the same home because the entire home is like Dalet Amos. So now they're saying halacha is like Reb Shimon Elazar. Rava Amar Ein halacha Reb Shimon Elazar. And Rava says that ultimately the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Elazar. So we'll say, so a machlokis. Now we know halacha lemaisa. And we'll say, the way we paskin is, as long as you can't see the waist, right? As long as you can't, I say it differently actually. That we saw from yesterday's daf. It's not really about not seeing it. What is it about? Covered. As long as it's covered and there's no odor, then ultimately, again, you're good to go for davening. So we don't really pass like this Reb Shimon Elazar as much as we use it for Netilas Yadayim. Everyone, I was, you know, to stop over for tonight. Shkoyach tomorrow. But say, I just want to point out, this is not all of Maseches Brachos like this, right? In other words, we have one more day. Actually, we have one more day of Soa, Emir Sashem, and then Emir Sashem, actually, hopefully Thursday night. My goal is to start the new Perek. Emir Sashem, tomorrow night, we'll finish up the Sugi, really great Gemara tomorrow, then Thursday, new Perek, Shkoyach. I'm sorry? Oh.